Welcome back to Sweet Pea Podcast, The Early Years, with your host, Loretta McDonough. Okay, so today I'm in Kilkenny. I drove down this afternoon. It was a beautiful day. I had an hour and a half in the car, peace and quiet. Well, except the radio, but I love that. And right, so what has me in Kilkenny? I'm here in the Millennium Community Centre and I'm talking to a lovely lady called Sam Sinnott. And she is owner, co-partner of Buddy Bench. And hello first, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm grand.
Good.
And my journey was shorter than your journey coming to work this morning.
Absolutely.
And I'd say yours, a little 6 going through the countryside, was lovely, 6 miles.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lovely. Sun was shining and getting ready for a good day.
Yeah, we love it. So we're here to talk about Buddy Bench. Yeah. So who are you and what's your background?
Okay, my name is Sam Sinnott. I'm co-founder of Buddy Bench and my background is marketing, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
Figures which helped. Adults.
Which helped a lot.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, because you have to get something, you have to get your product out and you have to get people to know about it.
We had a huge message to get out there, so it's really been a great help.
Yeah. And so your background is marketing. So how did you come about doing a Buddy Bench?
Well, obviously, being a parent.
Yeah.
My daughter, Sophia, she's now 13, lovely teenager. When she was 7, we had a little bit of a mishap within our family, a little bit of a loss. And unfortunately, Sophia and I didn't have the exact same communication skills. I'm not saying she was lacking or I was lacking. We didn't have the same communication skills. Mm-hmm. And Sophia went and she did the Rainbows program, an 8-week art therapy program. Absolutely excellent. And she came out shining. So through research and that, I realized what had happened. She had learned social and emotional learning skills. In other words, she learned how to express herself. She was given the language to express herself. And to me, she came out like a different child.
And do you feel that like she didn't have that beforehand?
Not so much.
Okay.
Not so much because her personality is quite quiet. She's a very quiet, reserved child. Okay. Now, she didn't come out a different personality.
No.
But even the fact that I knew that she had those communication skills made the situation better.
Yeah.
And I was just finished a postgrad with UCD on innovation and entrepreneurship, where and in this particular course, you look at problems and obviously try to find a solution. For me personally, the problem was looking at me right in the face on a daily basis. Children, and why isn't social and emotional learning on the curriculum? Why? It was an absolute no-brainer. It was obvious. And at the time, my lovely friend Judith Ashton, which she's the co-founder, we used to just have lots of chats. Her two sons were in their early 20s at the time. And unfortunately, the loss of life at that age group is epidemic
yeah.
as such, maybe. Yeah. That's a strong word.
Well, but, I think, yeah, it could be. Yeah.
You know? And how we seen this was bodies actually floating down a river. We thought that the solution actually needs to go way back up that river. And we did.
Okay.
And we knew we needed to get. So it was Jewel. It was mine with Sophia, Judith with hers.
Boys,
what are we
going
to do?
Yeah. And really loss and things that happen in your life that you feel that they're not able to cope with.
Yeah.
Is it the resilience is not there for that coping?
Resilience.
Or you don't know
what
you're feeling to be able to cope with other things, is it?
That's we don't know that. So that wasn't our remit. Our remit was actually to go way back up the river as early as possible and teach children to be comfortable to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Expression instead of oppression, where what was my day was oppression.
Yeah.
So we kind of wanted to change that expression and to be for them to be comfortable with their feelings, good and bad.
Yeah. Oh,
thoughts,
yeah.
Good and bad. We're not, it's not always happy clappy.
Yeah.
And that's how it actually started about. I know.
Okay. So you came to this conclusion that,
yes.
that something had to be done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, back in 2015, we couldn't. There was still stigma, not so bad now. There was stigma. You couldn't go into children and teach them about mental health. We knew we couldn't. So we needed a mask. and we found the concept of a buddy bench.
And where did that, like, where did that stem from? Had you seen it being worked somewhere else, or?
Well, obviously, we first of all, we traced it back to a young boy in America. His name's Christian, and he was going to move schools in Germany. And he Googled his school in Germany, and they had a friendship bench. So he brought that idea to his principal, and it became a buddy bench. And that concept spread really quickly throughout America.
Okay.
But I did further research, and actually I found the origin of this friendship bench comes from Zimbabwe. Women's bench. That's the true. Yeah, I
no.
know. Honestly, that's the true origin. And it's still going ahead. There's still an initiative today.
So that was for women to get together and
women
to talk.
Women to have a sit down and have a chat out of their day. Yes.
Oh, give me one of those benches.
We all it's need
called,
one.
It's called Starbucks.
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
I
exactly.
say. Yeah.
So there's where it actually stems back from. Bring it to Germany, a friendship bench or the translation, then brought to America and it became the buddy bench. But what it symbolizes is if a child is feeling a little bit lonely, has nobody to play with, they sit on this bench as an indicator to their peers to come over and say, listen, do you want to play a game? Very simple. So once we found it, we knew we had it. That's exactly what we needed. We needed this disguise to go in and teach these coping skills to children through friendship, empathy, inclusion, those words.
Awareness.
It was a fantastic marriage.
Yeah.
And then to talk about marriages, we knew the men's sheds. There's 420 men's sheds in Ireland and they all make the buddy bench for us.
That's a great initiative. Oh,
it
community.
Works
yeah.
so well. Taking a village to raise a child brings these men back as well into the community. And you wouldn't believe each and every one of those buddy benches are made with such tender love and care. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's we love this marriage.
That's great.
I know.
And how did you just come up with that idea? Finding like the, was it just somebody said, what about the men's sheds? Give them something to do or let's get this going.
Well, it's just one thing. We teach children, one thing that children find really, really funny is because we talked about the men's sheds, that they need friends. You mean people at 75 and 80 need friends? They find that hilarious.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you're old.
They just sit and smoke pipes or read the newspaper.
They're like my granddad. My granddad doesn't have a friend.
They don't need friends. So it's just bringing that and then bringing the men's sheds back into the community. Like they come to the launches of the buddy benches and to see the kids interactive. And when you talk to some of them, they always wished that they had a buddy bench when they were at school.
That's lovely. It's lovely. Yeah. So we have the buddy bench.
Yes.
We have the concept. So you have yourself and Judith.
Yes.
And right. So you have this great idea. Like loads of people sitting at home have these great ideas, great initiatives and say, we need this. And some people are sitting at home going, we really need this in childcare. We need this in childcare. We need this in preschools or primary schools. So how did you get from this great idea and like really good idea and important idea and bring it into fruition, like get it to grow?
Okay.
You know?
Thankfully, I had the skills as a marketer and a marketeer. I remember even where I was sitting when I launched the Facebook page. Myself and my daughter, we were press. I remember the first few days, the amount of likes, the amount of people, the amount of emails, the amount of phone calls. And it was actually a little bit scary even.
Yeah,
I was like,
overwhelmed, I'd say, yeah.
Whoa, there's a need here. And then to change the concept, like thankfully here in Ireland, we get the messages coming across that we are actually a little bit more than a buddy bench. To get, as a marketer, to get that message to kind of to change, that was a bit of a challenge, but thankfully it's worked. People know what we do now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but in the beginning it was like, whoa.
And then, as you were saying earlier, like, it's great because at the end of the day, you want to get this program going out and about. You want people to know about you. Mm-hmm. And the best thing about product is the more people it reaches.
Yes.
But then, as you said, overwhelming or kind of scary that so many people need it.
That was, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, we've reached, where are we today? we're in, and we're not even, yeah, we're in, there are 300 and something, I think about 305 school or early year settings, and our numbers will tip 50,000 children. And that's actually, somebody said to me, that's actually 10% of the population. And I never thought of it that like is, that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a wow.
That is a wow.
Yeah, it is a wow.
And if, yeah, but I like the fact that, now, and being very honest, because I knew the buddy bench and about the buddy bench going into primary schools.
Yes.
And, but I wasn't aware of the program behind
it.
So I kind of knew about it, had heard it, you know, at this network meeting or something like that. And, you know, people working in primary schools, and then I would meet them, they'd be telling them, we have this great initiative. And I'd say, God, that's great. I'd love something like that. But not really thinking about it for early years. And then I come here today and I've been sitting with Sam for the last like half hour or whatever, chatting and having a cup of tea. And it's so much more than a bench.
Oh,
it's so much more than a program. It really is.
Yes, it is. For our early years, like, we believed in early intervention. More and more research.
Go back
we
up
know.
That river and catching it there up. At the stream. Even, before the, even the stream, the trickle coming out of the mountain.
Absolutely. Yeah. Early years. Like, could you imagine if a child was taught the skills that we teach from the age of three and had it, had a clear pathway throughout their life? Could you imagine that, what that human being would be? How whole that human being would be.
The possibilities would be huge.
Absolutely.
For that person.
They could be
for whatever, just, whatever they choose to do. And it's their happiness. Whether they follow the path of sitting and digging a hole for the rest of their lives, it's their path and they're happy. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So tell us, Sam, about the programme. So it starts off with, there's three different age groups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Initially, we had, when we were in our, when we came out of R&D, came out of our cave, we had one program.
Beards.
Absolutely.
Beards and long hair.
Hair. we had one program and we thought, okay, this is brilliant. We've got one program now. We're going to go in and everything's just going to be amazing. Little did we know. We listened to the children and we had to get right back into R&D and develop three totally different age-appropriate programmes. And the ages being 3 to 6, little buddies, 6 to 9, buddy bench aware, and 9 to 12, completely different needs and milestones. And we did that. So we're okay. We were on the right track then.
But you needed to do, you needed to go in ballsy to learn. Well, hold on, let's come back here and you do need that process, don't you?
Well, absolutely. Well, you see, that would have come from our postgrad of innovation, because you expect to pivot.
Yes.
Pivoting is healthy. Failure is healthy.
Oh,
yeah. Bring it on. Come on.
Yeah. We can only learn from
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. So we developed the program around a story, because we all love stories, and about four animals. We've got Kin the Fox, and he represents thinking, good and bad. It's okay. Elf the squirrel. He or she. I can't figure out who he is. He or she. He's a he-she.
Yeah, he's
fine.
Yeah, he's just himself.
Yeah.
Or herself, itself.
Yeah, he represents emotions, good and bad. That's okay. And Red the Robin is a safe place. It's a nest. It's a secure, safe place. And every child loves building nests. We all did. We all built dens and stuff. And it's just it's a natural thing to do. And then, lo and behold, we have Nick the monkey, who's diverse and he's completely different. And he celebrates that fact.
Great.
Yeah.
Look at me.
He bounces around trees and he's not a wooden animal and he doesn't actually belong there, but he fits in fine.
Yeah.
So they're the four animals, and there's lots of teachings behind it. But and we've puppets. Our workshops are extremely interactive. We actually bring a bench with us, and each animal has a puppet. And it's actually hilarious to watch. The children don't talk to us. They talk to the puppets.
You're gone. Yeah.
We're not even in the room. Like, they have full-scale conversations with these guys. And these puppets have come to life because they've all totally different personalities. And what we think, we've introduced these animals and characters to the children, and they absolutely love them and they know them, because when we go back, they're still able to tell you their names, and they'd ask it how they are.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's amazing.
Is each book for a different age group, or are the four animals, the four puppets, or the four stories just for the early years?
Okay, so the story is for your early years, your little buddies, and your buddy bench aware from the age of 3 to about 9.
Okay.
Then you're a hero has absolutely nothing to do with a bench or puppets or stories or everything. That program's very much more a discussion and a little bit more scientific about how to move your mood, what stress feels like in your body, etc. It's completely different.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's about managing. Would it be about managing how you're feeling as well?
Absolutely.
Like tools and strategies. Would it be in that?
Yeah, but the fact that it's okay to feel a little bit down the dumps or bad, and how you have that power within you to actually move that mood yourself.
So that's where the hero comes from.
Absolutely, because you are the hero. You're your own hero.
Because gotten out, changed your mood.
You've changed your mood. It's actually very simple, because you're actually doing something that you love. You're either playing with your dog, kicking a ball around, painting a picture.
On your bike, doing whatever.
You have that power within yourself to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's resilience.
That is resilience, because you're in charge of your own self, and you're making yourself change.
Yeah.
Nobody else is doing it for you. And that really is, when you go forward, the 25-year-olds struggling with loss, they haven't got the ability to change their own mindset or their feelings.
Absolutely.
So if you have it there from the very start.
Yes.
And Sam, do you think that, is there an importance that early years, because we all do different things and we hope that we're all on the same boat, but when we do all this work in early years, and I feel I'm a bit biased because I'm an early years practitioner, that we do a lot of work and we're very hands-on, because in fairness, a lot of centres are privately owned.
Yes.
So the manager, the owner is right on it.
Yes.
So if something new comes on, they take it on board and they give it a go and everything. Where when you go to primary school, it's different. Your Department of Education, it's, it's a different mindset. And I know Ashter has come into primary school. So how do you think is important for this all to be integrated? Okay.
Well, I think people really, everybody from policymakers, right up or down, everybody just needs to know the importance of the transition from the early years sector over to primary school. It can be seamless, but it needs to be links from the early years settings to primary school. It's just a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I even think that no records brought with the child. That just does not make any sense.
I have never understood that.
I just can't make that. That's ridiculous.
I've never understood that there's no connection. And I know some primary school teachers feel that they don't want to make assumptions or be presented with a child, that they want to be able to see the child coming and make their own judgments and cares. But I don't get it.
I just don't.
I know some schools do, because we have started to get these little folders in. They're like a small little cardboard folder that it's to do with Ashter and Shielded themes and how are they in exploring thinking and, would they have their own identity? Yeah. And we fill in a couple of lines, which is a start. But not all schools do that.
Yes. And I think life would be so much easier for everybody involved. And it's just so simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
Like if we had a package and it was like even just a page and that we folded it and it was a little copybook and they sent it off to the teacher and it went into their school bag the first day.
Yes. As simple as Jamie doesn't like noise. Like imagine to know that. Or doesn't like the colour purple.
Yeah.
I know we've GDPR records,
the data control. But if you're giving it to the parent and it's about that child, you're giving it back to the parent. The parent owns that information.
Yes.
There's been a bond between you and the parent with confidentiality.
Yes.
You're handing that information back to the child's parent, who has then, another confidentiality act with the primary school, and she's handing that information on. So I can't see where there could be
It can be done.
Yeah, so
it can
simply
be done. Yes,
and the importance of that is huge.
Absolutely huge. I think, as I said, it would make life so much easier, so much seamless for everybody involved, because it is a transition, and especially the amount of work that's done in the earlier sector compared to primary schools at the minute, like it's virtually none. We're in a lot of early years settings, and it's a dream for us to see what is happening, because we know these children at this age now are actually going to be much easier for us when they come into primary schools because they're emotionally intelligent. They're 3 and a half, but they are. They're going to know exactly what we're talking about. Yeah.
And they will adapt, and you will see that you will be adapted. Please, isn't this the ideal thing to happen? Is that if it was rolled out and streamed out and it was part of our well-being as part of ASHTR and this is our well-being programme. And because sometimes as practitioners, we struggle with what to be doing for well-being and their own identity and the nesting of the robin and finding a little area that they feel good in and things like that. So if this programme was rolled out and it was part of just your practice, that it's normalising how your feelings are, that you can be sad and you can be happy and you can be very angry and frustrated.
Yeah, of course you can.
That's who you are and that's part of being a human being.
Yes.
And it's how you deal with that.
Yes.
And that you may need help sometimes.
We all do.
Yeah.
We, like, our motto is look up, look around and look out for each other. And the children just embrace that. They love it because who are they naturally? They're naturally empathetic, loving, caring. They just embrace it.
And when does that all change? Because we see that. Like we get these very competent, clever children, independent, you know, they may struggle with their independence because they're at their age. And then they leave us at 4 and a half, 5.
Yes.
Where does that all go? What happens to that?
Okay.
You know, well, have you seen a change? Just, like you're doing it now in primary schools. And have you seen a change in over time?
We don't really like going in to deliver the Little Buddies program to junior infants in September. Because unfortunately the children have not, and I just use my hands, you can't see me, conformed. They're made sit still. That's horrendous, I think, my personal opinion. Made sit still for X amount of time. Which goes against their grain of who they are. They need to move. They need to wiggle and shake and stretch their
legs. And that's
their
natural being. That's their comfort zone sometimes, wiggling their little bottom or moving their wrist around. It's their like little thing.
It's a bit painful for us to see them sitting still. That's the way it is, but I don't like it.
So it's hard when you go in to do the buddy program.
Yes.
So would you leave it then till a later stage?
We always leave it till, we try and leave it till October until they're settled into that regime a little bit more.
Because it's been very free, and especially nowadays with the emergent curriculum and with the child's interest at the heart of everything.
Yes.
I think early years, and especially primary school, in preschools and Montessoris and daycares, we've all adapted that way of thinking.
Yes.
And so to go into, so we're making a bigger transition then.
Yes, huge.
We're actually widening the transition that from one place to another because we're not working like that anymore.
Yes.
So the transition is getting bigger. So the gap between early years, preschool to primary school is actually widening.
Yes. And then you can't, like, you have your lovely, amazing young primary school teacher teaching 32 junior or senior junior infants. She can't physically cover the curriculum if they're all allowed to stand up and jiggle and do you know what I mean?
It's
like
you're
not dishing the primary school teachers, you're dishing the system a little, just a little.
And how do you find the program is rolling out in the primary schools?
Good. Oh no, we're really, really, really busy. I would probably wish I didn't have a job and there wasn't such a need.
I know.
That's our dream, is not to have a job. Like our goal is to reach every child in Ireland, and we are working with at policy level, policy maker level. We are, and there's a
lot. And how does that work? So when you're saying that you're working at policy level with people,
what we have done.
Okay. Yeah,
how we've got in there. Okay,
we're
instrumental in the Youth Mental Health Task Force. It was a task force set up. Task force set up in 2017.
Okay, so very young, very new.
Very young.
Yeah.
So four of us went to the task force, and we all sat at different tables, and we had the chat on the way up in the car. We have to shout about early intervention being key. And I mean, really shout.
Okay.
So we strategically placed ourselves one on each table because actually everybody was talking about when the horse already bolted.
Clever.
We're going, please don't do this. Come back. Get up that river. Go back up your stream. Go back to where your source is, even your source. That's where you can help. When the horse is bolted, Do you know what I mean? That's not working either.
No.
So we shouted about early intervention and very strategically, as I said. And then when the report, I remember going up to read the report and I remember looking going, oh my God, is it going to have got through? Is it going to have got through? Five of the 15 recommendations we tick. That's what I mean. So we're working everything takes time.
It does. It's a process, isn't it?
It's a process. Yeah. Like we're working with the Central Mental Health Psychology Department in Maynooth University. We've got an amazing researcher, Penny, headed by Dr. Sinead Galloway. We have our first preliminary evaluation done and we'll have our full report done now in December this year, 2019.
Okay.
You need your evidence base.
Oh, of course you do. Yeah, because you can't prove nothing unless you have that evidence base. Yeah.
That takes time. Mm-hmm. Also takes money, by the way. But we'll have that. And people are starting to take a little. They're starting to take note.
Yeah.
And believe us.
Yeah. And do you think now, so that's a policy level, which is important because you could be fighting the fight and doing good work and doing great work and be there. But at the end of the day, you're saying that it should be part of curriculum.
Well, that's our goal.
And that's your goal.
That's our goal. Social, and it doesn't necessarily have to be us. It needs to be a program to teach social and emotional learning on the curriculum, equally as important as maths, Irish, English,
yeah.
Because they complement each other. Without one, they don't work.
And you know, and have you seen like society? We were just saying earlier on that you felt that society has changed
huge
from when maybe even bringing your own daughter up like 13 years ago to now. Yes. And is that having an effect on children?
Yes, huge screens. And don't blame the children, blame the parents. I'm sorry. Who buys the screens for the children?
From a very young age.
Yeah. You look at a buggy and there's a child holding an iPad at 2 years of age.
Walking through a park.
Help. At a restaurant, there's a child swiping. I give a three-year-old a present. He looked at it and tried to swipe it. I rest my case.
Yeah.
Parents' engagement. Get off your phones.
Yeah.
Do you ever see a woman not necessarily breastfeeding, but feeding their baby with a bottle and the phone? My stomach turns. That makes me extremely angry. Look at the opportunity she's missing out on.
The engagement.
Facial engagement. Whoa, what messages is that baby, because they're learning from that age, what messages is the baby getting?
Yeah. And do you think we're seeing the fruit of this?
Yes.
In children of, I know we're doing, we do have the well-being and identity and belonging within our themes of ASTR in early years. So like you were saying, we are doing the emotional and getting children to problem solve and do things like that. So do you think, can you see this now in primary schools when you're going in?
When we speak to teachers, we speak to them a lot.
And what are teachers saying? Yeah.
Children are representing themselves with different so-called problems in the past 5 years. It's huge. From now to 5 years ago. Huge difference.
Like, that's actually a short period of time.
Very, very short. It's very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Presenting, you know, I don't like statistics because unless you can know where they come from.
Yes.
Who, whatever. But we know anxiety's on the rise. Why? You know, and it's so multifactored. It's not all screens, but that definitely has something to do with lack of parent engagement.
From a young age?
From a very, very young age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not all parents grew up with technology, so it's a new thing. You know, it's not, you know, like my children certainly didn't grow up with, like, I certainly didn't grow up with technology. Yes. There was always technology there. Listen, don't get me wrong. I had a video and a TV that I used to put on Sesame Street or The Muppet Show, and I go, quick, I'll do my cleaning and ironing while it's on. So there's always been screen time. But like you said, it's the difference of the parent and having the screen time themselves while they're interacting with the child. I fed my children and I'd have the telly on, but my interaction was with the child. Where now you're saying it's the child is nearly fighting with the screen time with the parent.
Absolutely. We do an experiment in one of the middle program, Buddy Bench Aware, and the You're a Hero. Just take, for example, Michelle is one of our facilitators. Fantastic, Michelle. she's engaging with these children, and you can see their body language. They're sitting up and they're going, oh yeah, because it's a discussion as well. Very much, it's not chalk and talk.
Okay.
It's a discussion. It's very engaging. And Michelle takes out her phone and suddenly ignores the whole class. And she kind of goes, starts swiping her phone, kind of, If when you watch what happens with the children, it would break your heart. The whole body language, they're deflated. They kind of sit back. And even some of them would throw their eyes up to heaven and go, there we go again. Do you know?
Okay.
As if I had that engagement. And look at you. Look at you now on your phone.
There's no point.
There's no. Do you know what I mean? Like, you fooled me. I thought you might have been a bit different, that you're actually interested in what I had to say. And then when she actually tells him, well, how did that make you feel? The words are sad, ignored. They do tell tales of the parents at that stage.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it's part of that discussion. And like, funny, even if the parent would see that, maybe they would just...
Yeah. And can this... So this program is available for early years. And yes. It's available for primary school.
Yes.
And who can parents like get this program? Can they can get on board? Can they? Yeah,
absolutely. Parents are our driving force. It's not necessarily the schools. It's usually parents or parents' associations. Yeah, they're the driving force.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they see their child that has a need. They've researched and looked up this and said, you know what? Yes. I could do this.
Yes,
this is something that maybe my child would need. Yes. Or maybe, as you said, with your daughter, and we're coming full circle back again, saying that you've seen that need in your daughter.
Yes.
And a need in yourself.
Yes.
Because you didn't have those communication and the words.
Yes.
And then you found something. So there's parents coming to you looking for their something.
Yes. Yes.
To help them connect with their child and communicate.
Yes. And it's all down to communication.
It is.
And it's communication that has changed. This is supposed to be the age of communication. That's a joke.
Yeah. Because communication is derived through another medium.
Yes.
Like, I know we're doing a podcast and this is a communication and we're using that medium.
Yes.
But we just have to be very mindful as parents. I am a parent, you're a parent. Yes. As practitioners, teachers and advocacy, that we're doing it the right way and we're doing it for a reason. So if we're on our screen time, we're doing it because we need to connect with somebody else for that time.
Yes, and everything has its time. Everything has a time.
Everything has a place. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sam. This has been wonderful and I've really enjoyed it. It's been really good. And I think we're going to link back in again maybe in a year or two to see how the program's going. And I would advise anybody that are interested, especially early years, that are interested in developing their program more into their children's feelings and using tools and toys, that it's a very good package because your tools are provided for you and you can just then let the children take it where it goes. And I think that my advice, or any listeners, and I think myself and Sam would maybe think the same, that link in with your primary school.
Oh yes.
Reach out. So if you're a early years setting, reach out to your primary school, and if it's not with our wonderful buddy bench, that it's with some sort of connection, that you are working on the same path to get the children flowing down that river safely.
Absolutely.
Into a beautiful ocean where they can live and swim and do whatever their capability allow them.
And enjoy a beautiful sunny day just like this one.
Sam, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So there you have it. On to the next time. This is your host, Loretta, telling you to take care and be kind to yourself.